The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. The Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, welcome to the program. We've got a lot of interesting guests today, but right now we're talking to a journalist from Rebel News to talk about what's been going on with this pastor in Canada, Pastor Tim Stevens. Adam Seuss, am I pronouncing that right?
That's right. That works.
Adam, what part of Canada are you in, and how do you know, have you been covering this situation with these Canadian pastors being oppressed, suppressed, persecuted by the Canadian government?
Yeah, so I'm in Western Canada, not quite on the coast, though, Alberta, so we're kind of the Texas of Canada, and I'm in Calgary, so it's kind of the oil country of Canada, so very, very generally conservative kind of territory. So I've been covering the story pretty closely. My colleague Sheila Gunn-Reed dealt with James Coates up at Grace Life Church. That's the church, as you likely saw, which was fully fenced off and completely shut down, and the pastor spent 35 days in jail. Since that time, I've spent quite a bit of time with Pastor Artur Pavlovsky. Of course, you've likely seen the viral video of him shouting, "Get out, get out," and the authorities fleeing rapidly. So I was intimately connected with that story. And now most recently, I've been on the story of Pastor Tim Stevens. So in our province alone, we have had three pastors arrested simply for gathering for worship.
Well, we've had this kind of thing going on in the United States, but we haven't had arrests. We've had persecution, fines, a lot of trouble. The idea of arresting a pastor seems to be, to us in the United States, to be extraordinary, bad optics. Why is the Canadian government, do you think, taking these kinds of horrific actions?
Well, one of the great ironies is that our premier, who's effectively like the governor of a state, the premier of our province, used to work in federal politics, and he was one of the great international sort of advocates for religious freedom. Now no one will remember that. Everyone will only remember him as the premier who locked up pastors.
What is his name?
Jason Kenney.
Okay.
Yeah, so Jason Kenney, he's actually less popular than Justin Trudeau, our prime minister, in our extremely conservative province. So that tells you how upset people are about what's going on. It's really hard to put your finger on why they're doing this. It doesn't make much sense at all. Other groups are gathering and they seem not to bother them. There's other massive protests going on. The police don't close in. But it seems if you're overtly critical of the government or if you're a Christian pastor, it's open season. Especially if you see some of the footage of these arrests, a pastor being torn away from his family, in the case of Tim Stevens, or Pastor Art Pawlowski being arrested on the side of the highway, you'd almost think they're going for the worst optics possible. Maybe in their minds, they're showing a strong sort of unified front against opposition. But clearly, that's not the way the world is taking it.
Do you think Jason Kenney has a particular animus toward Christians?
Well, and that's the vexing question, is that he himself is a practicing Roman Catholic.
So well, I don't nothing. Biden is a
of
practicing
course.
Roman
no,
Catholic.
No, and I mean
they're not practicing hard enough.
Of course, no. And I mean, I think traditionally he would have been viewed as someone who adhered to Christian values. One of the thoughts that I've heard repeatedly is that no one's going to cry out discrimination or persecution against white Christians. So I feel like he feels he might be able to make an example of these people without other communities sort of decrying him as a bigot. So I've heard numerous people suggest that. But again, the entire instance is incredibly vexing, particularly the malice with which they're going after these people. I can't explain to you, Tim Stevens, like Artur Pawlowski is a very outgoing and strong and sort of... He he can rub people the wrong way. I understand about him. Tim Stevens is a meek dove. He's a gentle, gentle, loving man. And they had two like large SWAT van vehicles and about five police SUVs corner him and his family in the parking lot of their church as they were trying to leave to proceed with the arrest. Like two officers could have walked up and arrested him. There's this ridiculous show of force that indicates to me a clear level of malice that's not warranted.
So what do the people of Calgary have to say about this? Are they standing up? Are they willing to fight back?
So, I mean, I think there's a different mentality in Canada, unfortunately. I think as we didn't really have to fight for our freedoms, obviously in wars and things like that, but we sort of asked for our independence. I think we have this mentality of like, oh, everything's going to be okay. And we don't really have to fight for these freedoms. They sort of assume it's a baseline. So the province is extremely divided. And I think it's more divided than ever. You have people saying, let him rot in jail. Good. Put him away. He's risking lives. And on the other side, you have these people saying, leave the pastor alone. There's no cases of outbreaks in these three pastors' churches. It's just not based on scientific evidence. They're clearly being targeted. So I think the province, to be honest, is more divided than ever, as is the country.
So what is the state of Artur Pawlowski right now?
So, it's a very live situation. For Pastor Artur Pawlowski, he's actually been released. And it's a very complicated legal matter. There was originally a court order put out on May 6th that basically stipulated that protest was illegal. It mentioned one specific instance. We've had our pastor rebellion. We've also had a bit of a restaurant rebellion. Some restaurants are opening and flouting the sort of orders, and they're just doing that intentionally as an act of defiance. So that court order specifically referenced a Whistle Stop Cafe, which has been the sort of head of the restaurant rebellion here in Alberta. So that kind of took place, and this court order was mandated against them. But they added on that court order, including Jane and John Doe. And authorities took that to mean anyone gathering anywhere can just be arrested. So you show up at a protest opposing this, you just get thrown in jail. And that has happened, unfortunately. So Pastor Artur Pawlowski is one of the sort of cases that's fighting that. James Coates was before that. But Pastor Artur Pawlowski's case pertains to that court order. That's why he was arrested. So he's released now, but he agreed to bail conditions for the time being to adhere to those rules. So he's out of jail, but for the sake of his legal defense, he's not going against the rules. Next Thursday is his court date, actually. No, Wednesday now. Sorry, they changed it. Wednesday is his court date. And that's when he's going to fight in court to set the legal precedent. For Pastor Tim Stevens, they actually offered to release him on Monday. And he refused on principle because he would not agree to those bail conditions because he found them immoral. And also the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms, who is representing Tim Stevens, said that the arrest was illegal in the first place. So we've just learned that this morning, Pastor Tim Stevens was also let go. And he basically has 24 hours to propose amendments to these bail conditions. So I know that's a lot of legal jargon, but I think the context is important.
Well, I think it's very important. I also think, you know, it's important to say that just because you don't have a culture of fighting back doesn't mean that it's not time to fight back. In other words, I think people have to really think these things through logically because we all want to be nice. But, you know, when war comes to you, you have to fight. And this is really a war on basic liberties. I'm not familiar with the Canadian Constitution, but it seems to me that the idea of religious liberty, it's as basic as it gets. And so the idea that some of these folks would in a heavy-handed way try to crush this kind of dissent, people have to push back however they can.
Yeah. And what's jarring about that is a judge, there's actually section 176.2 of the Canadian Charter that actually stipulates that it's categorically illegal. It's a charter right. You cannot interrupt ongoing worship. A judge actually signed off to waive that so that they could come arrest pastors in the middle of worship. That's a fundamentally enshrined Canadian charter right. And a judge said, no.
My Bonhoeffer book, I don't like to think that some of the things that I wrote about happening in Germany in the 30s are actually happening in places like Canada. But I just want to say, these things have happened before. If you don't fight back, bad things happen. Fortunately, my Bonhoeffer book has just recently been translated into Canadian. So if there are people in Canada who want to read it in Canadian English, they can do so. That was a That was a joke, Adam.
It was good. I was laughing.
Oh, good. I was scared that you were thinking that I'm really insane when I'm just faking it. I'm faking it. No, but honestly, it is a chilling thing to talk about pastors being arrested. Again, it brings up Germany to me. This is what happened. People have to stand up. So we're really grateful to you for reporting on this. Adam Seuss, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. Like you, I am sick of hearing about big tech companies spying on their customers, selling their data, and not being able to keep their platforms safe and secure. Luckily, I found SquadPod, a private platform that helps businesses, organizations, churches, and nonprofits take back control of their communication. SquadPod has three things going for it that other companies do not. First, SquadPod puts you in control of who is a part of your team, what they see, and how they interact with the group. Second, SquadPod is 100% owned and operated in the United States. Third, SquadPod is simple to use. Just create an account, invite your team, and start communicating via their secure video and messaging features. Learn more at squadpod.com/Eric. That's squadpod.com/Eric. Let me say it again, squadpod.com/Eric. Check it out.
Folks,
welcome back to the Eric Metaxas Show. We have a really special guest on. As you know, we've been following what is happening around the world. We're following what's happening with the Uyghur Muslim population. And right now I have on the Prime Minister of the East Turkestan government in exile, Prime Minister Salih Hoodyar. Prime Minister, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
We have met in person a few times through our friend Jason Jones, and it's very difficult for many Americans to follow what is happening around the world. There's so much happening at once. If you don't mind, give my audience a brief overview of what is happening and why you are the Prime Minister of East Turkestan in exile. Help my audience who doesn't know anything about this or the geography or the politics.
So in 1949, the newly established People's Republic of China, or Communist China, invaded and occupied East Turkestan, overthrowing the East Turkestan Republic. Since then, it's been engaged in a campaign of colonization, occupation, and genocide, resulting in many of our East Turkestanis, mostly Uyghurs, fleeing into exile through Central Asia into Europe and North America. The government in exile of East Turkestan was initially called the East Turkestan National Committee before it was later reframed as the East Turkestan National Congress. Before it was formally called the East Turkestan Government in Exile, based in Washington, D.C. In 2004. I was elected as the Prime Minister of the Government in Exile in November 2019 at the 8th General Assembly. And what's happening in East Turkestan is today, many people are aware of the Uyghur genocide. The U.S. government, the parliaments of Canada, the U.K., and the Netherlands have recently designated China's atrocities as a genocide. There has been sanctions against Chinese officials. We also have put a case against China's officials at the International Criminal Court. China is conducting textbook genocide as defined under the UN Genocide Convention, from including, you know, forced abortions of over 3.7 million babies between 1979 and 2009, to mass sterilization of hundreds of thousands of women, Uyghur and other Turk women, in recent years, to the mass internment of what the U.S. Department of Defense estimates to be at least 3 million and possibly more people in concentration camps. In the past 2 years alone, the Chinese government has caused a significant decrease in the birth rate of our people. They have set the birth rate at 0% in some places across East Turkestan, to where over 160,000, you know, births have been prevented just in the last 2 years.
When you say births prevented, what do you mean?
So this is part of Chinese government's policy, is to prevent the growth of our population. So they are restricting, you know, babies from being born by, you know, forcibly sterilizing our population, locking up, you know, significant portion of our population into the camps, and giving out fines and prison sentences, or even sending those to the camps who have had more than two kids.
Let me ask you, so people understand this. I've heard the name of this ethnic group of which you are a member, the Uyghur Muslims. How do you pronounce this word?
So we pronounce it as Uyghur, and although majority of Uyghurs are Muslim, we have a significant minority Christian and Buddhist populations, among others.
And so we're talking, of course, of the extreme Western part of what China claims is the nation of China. And you said that it took over this area in 1949 and has continued throughout these decades to repress the population of your people.
Yes, the Chinese call it Xinjiang, which translates as the colony or the new territory.
So they've really been trying to wipe out any traces of ethnic identity. In other words, they're basically saying you have to be Chinese. We won't even tolerate you asserting your ethnic identity or your identity as Muslims.
Absolutely. I mean, even our historical sites, including, you know, churches, mosques, all of these have been destroyed. In addition, you know, or even our graveyards, even those, you know, that have previously existed, you know, that have passed away, even their bodies have been exhumed, and the graveyards have been decimated, to where the Chinese government has built parking lots over them in some, you know, national graveyards of our former heroes and leaders. They've built a military base over it. These are the type of things that China is doing to disconnect us from our past. And also, they're forcing, you know, over 850,000 children, and this is according to the Chinese government itself, have been forcibly separated from their families to be sent to state-run orphanages and boarding schools to be raised and indoctrinated as loyal Chinese citizens.
This is as brutal as anything I've ever heard. Nearly a million children separated from their parents. It's an unthinkable evil, but it's gotten very little play in the international press. When was there any point where our government in the United States was speaking about this? In other words, when the Clinton administration gave most favored nation status to China, were they aware of this? Had this become a non-issue in the 90s?
I mean, in the 90s, after the fall of Central Asia, there had been a lot of activism for, you know, independence in East Turkestan. Initially, this was seen, you know, by the West. You know, the Western nations actually tacitly supported it, or they acknowledged it. However, as China entered, you know, into the World Trade Organization, China began to, engage in these massive atrocities that's been ongoing for a long time, but Western nations began to remain silent. It was only with the Trump administration that the United States began to speak out against these atrocities more forcefully. And it was the Trump administration who recognized it as a genocide at their last day in office. And with that, the U.S., the incoming, the current Biden administration under President Biden, Secretary Blinken reaffirmed Secretary Pompeo's stance that this is indeed a genocide. And this has led to the U.K., Canada, the Netherlands, and more recently last week, the U.S., Germany, Canada, the United Kingdom, and a total of 10 other countries held a high-level meeting on this issue at the UN.
So somehow the UN cares about this, or is it just these nations you've mentioned?
Unfortunately, the UN has been largely silent as a whole. It's specific member states of the UN, led by the United States, that has been speaking out. The UN, unfortunately, the Human Rights Council is, China is a member of the Human Rights Council, and they are the chair. They're also, unfortunately, the chair, current chair of the UN Security Council. So they have been blocking efforts by the UN to raise this issue.
Did you just say that China is the chair of the Human Rights Committee at the UN?
Yes.
I'm astonished at this. How is this possible? This seems to render the UN even more preposterous, in my estimation, than they were before. How can such a thing exist when we in the United States of America are saying they're guilty of genocide and that they're the head of the Human Rights Commission at the UN?
And unfortunately, there are a lot of countries on the UN Human Rights Council that are notorious for engaging in, you know, mass human rights violations, and China is leading this. This is one of the main reasons that the Trump administration had actually withdrawn itself from the UN Human Rights Council, because it essentially became a joke.
So it sounds like Trump he was on the right side of most of this, and that hasn't really been continuing. We're going to go to a break. Folks, I'm talking to the prime minister in exile of the government of East Turkestan. This is very important. We'll be right back. Prescription Dispensing Labs is a national licensed pharmacy specializing in personalized prescription and natural medicine. The pharmacists at PD Labs are credited with formulating unique nasal sprays for the dreaded brain fog, and a leader in uncovering new compounds to improve your health. PD Labs is one of the first pharmacies to now offer a telemedicine group trained in prevention medicine and how to restore your health. They have developed signature professional supplements that really work rather than just promotional advertising. PD Labs Pharmacy prides itself on innovation and amazing customer service that show dedication to your health. Today, everyone needs a choice in their health care, and they bring many refreshing options on how to maximize your body's amazing capabilities to bounce back. PD Labs has an extensive network of practitioners nationwide dedicated to true health care, not sick care. Visit their website, pdlabsrx.com, for free health tips, podcasts, and their popular online store. Call 888-909-0110. Ask for Ray and tell them Eric sent you. That's 888-909-0110. Folks, I'm talking to Salih Hoodyar, He is a Uyghur American. He's the prime minister in exile of the East Turkestan government. Prime Minister, you're telling us things that are very disturbing, but we need to face them. You said that the Biden administration, quote unquote, that they had accepted former Secretary of State Pompeo's idea that the that there was actual genocide happening among the Uyghur Muslims living in the eastern part, western part of China. So is that the official position of the Biden administration?
Yes, this has been, luckily, this thankfully, this has been reaffirmed by Secretary Pompeo, and, I mean, Secretary Blinken, numerous times. In fact, more recently, last week, the UN, the U.S. at the UN, they stated that, you know, they are going to continue speaking out against China until it stops this genocide.
But we're evidently still planning to hold the Olympics in China.
Yes, and this is something that is extremely disturbing. I mean, this is a genocide Olympics. By attending, you know, by even, you know, attending at the Olympics, we are inadvertently supporting China's, you know, genocide. We're giving them prestige. We're giving them, you know, we're rewarding them for the atrocities that they are engaging. We have been calling on the United States and other governments in the free world to boycott the upcoming Beijing 2022 Olympics and to urge the International Olympic Committee to relocate it to a different country that is not engaged in crimes against humanity and genocide.
I'm really astonished that, you know, Germany was not involved in genocide in 1936. We have to remember that when the Olympics were held in Berlin in 1936, the Nazis were not yet engaged in anything even approaching genocide. That came later. And yet we're willing, it seems, to hold the Olympics in a country that's been participating in genocide for some time. And what are the nations that have declared this?
So the U.S. was the first to recognize it as a genocide, which was followed by the Parliament of, well, the Parliament of Canada's, the Parliament of the UK, the Parliament of the Netherlands. There are other parliaments in Europe that are debating on recognizing it as a genocide. New Zealand and Australia are also debating on recognizing it as a genocide as well.
So do you think that by officially designating it as genocide, it would mean that these nations would not participate in the Olympics?
We're hoping that, you know, that they, by recognizing as a genocide, that this would, you know, have them fulfill their obligations under the UN Genocide Convention and the UN's responsibility to protect commitment by, you know, acting against these atrocities. And the first, you know, step, you know, an easier thing to do by acting against it is to boycott the Beijing 2022 Olympics.
And how is that looking right now?
Right now, no country has yet stated that they are going to be boycotting the Beijing 2022 Olympics. But there are increasing pressure from organizations, including Christian organizations across the United States and across the world, and Jewish organizations that are calling on, you know, the international community, especially governments in the free world, to boycott this and to urge the Olympic Committee to relocate it to a different country.
Well, for those who are not following this issue, tell my audience, what is China doing to the Uyghur population, particularly to the Uyghur Muslims in what was East Turkestan?
So inside East Turkestan right now, again, there's over 3 million people that are locked up in concentration camps. In addition, you have millions more that have been given long prison sentences simply for being, you know, Uyghur, for simply for being the owners of East Turkestan. In addition, hundreds of thousands of women have been forcibly sterilized. Over 850,000 children have been forcibly separated from their families. And tens of thousands of Uyghur women are being forcibly married to Chinese men. In addition, you have at least 500,000 Uyghurs, possibly even more, that are being sent to factories across China to be used as slave labor. And tens of thousands of Uyghurs are being killed for their organs as part of China's organ harvesting campaign. And their organs are unfortunately being sold to Muslims, wealthy Muslims across the world, as halal organs.
When you say halal, explain that for my audience who doesn't understand the concept of halal in the Muslim world.
So halal means that they have, you know, they haven't consumed, you know, pork or alcohol, and they like had a relatively kosher diet.
So because they're faithful Muslims, they are being murdered by the Chinese government for their organs because fussy religious Saudi Muslims don't mind that people are being murdered for their organs so that they can use those organs if they need an organ transplant, just to be clear.
Absolutely. And there has been numerous, you know, testimonies and evidence about this. In fact, prior to around 2010, there was less than 10,000 transplants, organ transplants in China as a whole. By 2017, this has increased to over 70,000 transplants annually.
We're going to come back. These are numbers are staggering. Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. Please stick around. Folks, I'm talking to Salih Hoodyar. He's the prime minister in exile of the East Turkestan government. These are the Uyghurs who have been horribly oppressed, persecuted, murdered by the Chinese communists. Prime Minister, tell us the numbers again. You said that recently the Chinese government, in the last 4 years, I guess, they are murdering healthy Uyghur Muslims at the rate of 70,000 per year, 70,000 intentional murders per year for their organs. Are those numbers correct?
Yes. So prior to 2010, at that time, according to organ transplant researchers, China had an annual organ transplant of about 10,000 per year. However, by 2017, this increased to over 70,000 with the mass internment of Uyghurs. And the Chinese government itself, their state media reported in 2018 that between 2016 and 2017, the Chinese government collected the DNAs, voice prints, and retina scans of 36 million people between the ages of 12 and 65 in East Turkestan alone.
They're collecting genetic information for the purposes of oppressing these people and in many cases murdering them.
Yes, we think that the reason they're collecting this is for, you know, to easily match potential organ transplants with, you know, the receivers. But there's also other disturbing, you know, theories based on China's bio warfare strategy textbook, which states that they have the capability to engage in ethnic specific genetic attacks against China's enemies.
Say that again. How can they do that? I'm not clear.
So China's, the People's Liberation Army's biowarfare strategy textbook from 2017 stated that China now has the capabilities to engage in ethnic-specific genetic attacks against China's enemies. When much of China's DNA gene base, when they collected the forced, you know, DNA collections of millions of, over 36 million people in East Turkestan, mostly Uyghurs, all that genetic information was actually controlled by the People's Liberation Army.
So you mean that they are using the best technology to murder people by ethnic groups. In other words, the Nazis only could dream of having this technology. They didn't come close to this, but the Chinese government today has the same ideology, the same disregard for human life, but infinitely superior technology to do the wicked things that they would like to do.
Yes, and that's what we fear. We have no confirmation that they are indeed doing this. We have evidence that they are engaging in organ harvesting on a mass scale, but when putting the two pieces of the puzzle together, there are fears that they might be developing, you know, ethnic-specific biological weapons, or they might have already developed ethnic-specific biological weapons.
When you see somebody wearing Nike shoes, I mean, do you think about the fact that Nike is using slave labor to make these shoes? I'm fascinated that people aren't talking about this more publicly.
Yes. In fact, I myself have, you know, boycotted many of these companies that have been using the slave labor of Uyghurs. We have videos of Uyghurs, you know, being forced to make the, you know, shoot like Adidas, Nike, and other, you know.
It's also Adidas.
Skechers.
Adidas, Skechers, and Nike. Skechers is separate from Adidas.
Yes, there are videos of Uyghurs being forced to work in factories producing these goods, these shoes. And it's not just shoes. There's also, you know, electronic components. In fact, more recently, seven of Apple's suppliers were found to be using the forced labor of Uyghurs.
What do you make of this, Prime Minister? Do you think that the heads of Apple, Nike, Adidas, Skechers, do you think that they're aware of this? They're looking the other way. What do you think they would say to participating and actually economically encouraging this kind of evil? What do you suppose their position is?
I'm sure they're absolutely aware, because in Congress, we have a bill called the Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act. And companies like Apple, Costco, Nike, Coca-Cola spent millions of dollars lobbying against this bill.
Okay, you just mentioned Costco, Coca-Cola, and Nike, but you mentioned Coca-Cola and Costco. How are they, and why would they lobby against this bill?
So Coca-Cola actually has a plant in East Turkestan, and some of their, you know, products, I guess, you know, from the bottles and stuff like that are produced in East Turkestan and other parts of China, and then shipped, you know, across the world. So the way that it would impact them is this bill would have to ensure, like, the companies would have to ensure that they are not using, you know, forced labor or slave labor. And if they are, they have to, you know, not only seize this, but pay a huge fine. And so companies are going to lose profits in this aspect. And that's why they are lobbying against this bill.
We've just got a minute left. What can people do who are listening right now? What do you suggest?
The basic thing that everyone can do is to obviously spread more awareness. And in the United States, you know, to write to our members of Congress and ask them to support the Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act and to support the Uyghur Human Rights Protection Act.
Well, the Forced Labor Act you just mentioned, so is that in committee right now? Where is that bill?
So it passed the House, the Senate. It's been stuck in the Senate in the committee. In fact, they have to reintroduce it again. So it's still stuck in the committee at the point.
Well, this is just astonishing stuff. We're very glad to have you on the program again, Prime Minister Salih Houdiar, Prime Minister in exile of East Turkestan. I hope everyone listening will never buy another Coke product or Nike product or Adidas or Skechers. Folks, we've got to speak up. God is watching. Prime Minister, thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Welcome back. I have to ask everyone, I know I sound like a broken record, but you know what? I don't care. I don't care. Oh. It's very important. Folks, go to ericmetaxas.com, sign up for the newsletter. I will say it again. We are sending you every video. Every interview we do, we make a video, and it is sometimes posted on YouTube, but YouTube is becoming increasingly totalitarian and communistic. Not that there's anything wrong with being, you know, enforcing your atheistic secularist worldview. Hey, who are we to judge?
Right.
In the words of the atheist Pope Francis, who are we to judge? But let me just say that, honestly, we post everything. If it's not on YouTube, it's on Rumble, but we want to send it to you. And we can't do that unless you sign up for the newsletter. Now, trust me, folks, this is not a big deal. We're not sending you like a lot of ads and stuff. But I also post things on social media, but we post everything on these newsletters and we try to get them out to you, try to share it. Also, I do it in part so that you can share it with friends, because a lot of what we hope you all are doing, people say, what can I do? What can I do? Well, what you can do, one thing you can do is share the information we present on this program. So if you get an email, you can simply forward the email to people you think that would appreciate it, or tell them to sign up for the newsletter and they can get it themselves. But these videos, some of them are really important. We just did one actually with, my gosh, we had a whole bunch. We had an amazing interview with Oz Guinness. We had an amazing interview with him about his new book. It is fundamental. It's so good. We're going to have to rerun it a few times because it was just an amazing conversation about the biblical roots of American liberty, the undeniably biblical roots of the kind of government that we have had here since the beginning, since before the beginning, frankly, but that's another story. Since before 1776. We also did an interview. I want people to get to know Tim Eaton. He is the founder, CEO of Nutramedics. Okay. Yeah. I want you to know who this guy is, because as I say over and over again, we have tremendous economic power in America and we've not leveraged it. And what I mean by that is that Americans who share our values spend hundreds of billions of dollars every year. So the question is, how do we spend it? Where do we spend it? Are you giving that money to companies like Coca-Cola or Nike or now Adidas or Skechers that do not share your values, that are willing to look the other way when we're dealing with horrific human rights abuses? I mean, would you give your money to a company that is building the ovens, to kill the Jews, or the gas chambers to kill the Jews and the ovens to cremate the Jews? Would you give your money to a company that says, we don't care, somebody's got to make the oven, so why shouldn't we? I don't think you would. Would you give your money to somebody who believes in slavery or who is enslaving people or murdering people indiscriminately? I don't think so. You wouldn't want to give your money, to the Castro regime in Cuba, would you? Well, if you don't, then you shouldn't be giving your money to Nike. You shouldn't be giving your money to any of the companies that we've mentioned on this program, but you should be trying to give your money to companies that radically represent the values we believe in, the value of life, the value of human dignity. This is not some right-wing litany. This is basic stuff. What's going on in China today, everybody in this country should stand against it. Everybody in every country should stand against it. So the way I say that we can do that is try to bless those companies that are sharing our values. So Nutramedics, if you listen to the interview, which we've just posted, you'll get all the details. And we're going to have Tim Eaton on back again. But I'm sure you use half of those products or a number of those products. You might as well get them from Nutramedics. Use the code ERIC. You get 20% off. Same thing with Mike Lindell. The man has been a hero, a champion for many things. So we're asking you to go to MyPillow.com, MyStore.com. Use the code ERIC. Support those two companies, please. And do not support the companies that are working against what we think is right and good and true. Thanks.